From Cheyenne to Cody, from Gillette to Rock Springs, this is Let's Talk Wyoming, your weekly double dose of Wyoming politics. Because politics may be complicated, but we're here to break it down and help you make sense of it all. I'm Amy Edmonds, a former legislator from Cheyenne. Thanks for being here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Let's Talk Wyoming. As you can hear, I'm a little under the weather this week. This is the week after the session ended. I am recording on Thursday, March 13th. And I have for you, instead of listening to my gravelly sick voice, you are going to get to hear an interview I did with the youngest member in the Wyoming House of Representatives, Representative J.T. Larson. I consider him a friend. He's a really nice man. And like I said, the youngest member in the House. He is from Rock Springs. He represents House District 17. And he has his associate's degree in business administration, his bachelor in accounting. He's very involved in his community over there in Rock Springs. He's done a lot of great work in the legislature. And I really enjoyed sitting down and just visiting with him. One of the things we didn't talk about, but I wish I had thought about it in being able to tease Representative Larson, which is one of the advantages of being one of the youngest members in the House, is that you sort of become the IT professional of the chamber. You get to go around and help all of these somewhat computer illiterate older members with some of their computer stuff, which is a great way to start a relationship, launch a friendship. And JT is kind and generous and has done more of that than I can say. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Representative JT Larson from Rock Springs, House District 17. All right. Welcome back. Great to have you here. I have with me today Representative JT Larson from Sweetwater County. JT, it's great to have you.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. You bet. It's been exciting to watch you this session. Now, this is your second term. Is that correct?
Yes, it's my second term, first year in my second term.
All right, so 3 years into this. So let's just start out with, for the listeners, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and have grown up and with the passion of serving my community. And so from the time I was 9 years old, I was involved in different community events. I was in the Boy Scout program, eventually got my Eagle Scout, and
congratulations.
Then I was elected in 2022, started my first term in 2023, and I was 21 years old at that time, so youngest serving member of the House of Representatives and the state legislature.
Yeah, so when I served with a very young member as well, Representative Matt Teeter, so it's exciting. It's good to see. When I was there, it is good to see young people in the chamber, because it's not to be insulting to any of the members that are in the body right now. It's a lot of older people in the legislature. It's nice to see somebody younger.
Absolutely. I think that having a wide different or wide variety of perspectives in the body can help us have better conversations about policy. And I think I provide a valuable contribution to that.
Yeah. Now, you said that you enjoyed serving your community. Why politics though? What made you decide to go into politics, and specifically, now? Obviously, this is not the most enjoyable political period in American history, or at least it doesn't seem it. Why politics?
Yeah, I would say, going back to my time growing up and learning those values of giving back to your community, volunteering to do things for your community. That's why I wanted to take the next step. And, it wasn't that there was the option to do the legislature. I didn't look at any other levels of politics before I started. I saw an opening for the Republican primary spot and decided to take that step. And I took out the last Democrat in Sweetwater County in my first race. So Sweetwater County used to be a heavily Democrat county. Every elected representative in the state legislature came from the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last couple of decades, things have shifted, and now we're an entirely red county. So it was just, I was kind of like the last tail end of us getting the Republican Party into Sweetwater County. So
that's exciting. We have that in common as well, in the sense that in my district, I was the first Republican to win. So the district here in Laramie County that I served in was solidly Democrat for decades, and then I won. So it's exciting. I know Sweetwater County, when I served, had all Democrats. There were no Republicans. So how times have changed.
Absolutely. And I think it's for the better of our county that we have Republicans in office.
Of course. Wonderful. Yeah. That's great. So the session is coming to a close. We're recording this toward the end of the session. I want to ask some reflective questions, but first I want to start with, what did you want to accomplish this session, and did you accomplish it?
Yeah, I came to session with a fairly open mind, trying to work with everybody for the benefit of my constituents, and that's the mind frame I wanted to go into this session with, especially with the large changes, and I found to be fairly successful with that mission. Passing two pieces of legislation. One was a minerals committee interim topic that the bill had failed in the interim due to just not being ready enough. So I worked with the bringers over the months leading up to session, and it was a wildfire liability mitigation bill. So that was probably one of the most influential pieces that I worked on this session, and then brought some cleanup language for school payments from county treasurers. So one thing that I've learned during my time in the legislature is no matter what type of bill you bring, there's always going to be those little cleanup bills, and there's always going to be the ones that can make a big difference in the lives of our citizens. So mm-hmm. They're equally important, because we gotta still function as a government. So
that's right. They are. I mean, all the splashy headline ones are great, and many of them are super important. But there's also those just good little bills that don't really get a headline and nobody realizes, but they're really important.
Absolutely,
they do amazing things.
Yes, yeah,
that's great. Just going back and talking about accomplishments, I know Sweetwater County has been in the midst of, or was in the midst of, this BLM business. And that was a huge issue for you all. Give me an update. Where are you at? How are you feeling about what happens there?
Yes, our local Sweetwater County Republican delegation, prior to this year, worked very hard to push back against the Rock Springs Resource Management Plan proposed by the Bureau of Land Management. And I believe due to our efforts and trying to get our community engaged and submit public comment, we were able to put a halt to that plan, or at least make it a big enough priority so when the new Trump administration came in, they put the stop to it, and they're going to start reviewing that plan again to make sure we can have a balanced multiple use approach that allows for extraction but also recreation and all other sorts of uses of the public land. So the way that the Biden administration proposed it, it was just a land grab, locking up land so we could not further develop our resources. So was very glad to get that stopped.
That would have had a huge impact on your community, yes.
Absolutely. It would have shut down Sweetwater County.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And that's great. I remember hearing and watching that it came through the Trump administration sort of in a late hour deal, and that's wonderful. It's wonderful for Sweetwater County. So another sort of reflective question, how would you rate this session? I mean, obviously folks listening to this podcast, there's been a lot of headlines. People have read a lot of things about the session. How would you rate it?
From a personal level, while I've been down here, it's been very stressful. And, you know, I'm glad to be here and be doing this. It's an honor to do this for my constituents. Mm-hmm. But I think in the House, things could have been managed a lot better. And we didn't, the House majority of the House did not have to take some of the actions or say some of the things that they did that rubbed people the wrong way. When you come down here, you have to be effective. And it doesn't seem that the majority of the House wants to be effective. They just want to throw political grenades. And so that's what I've seen a lot of this session. And I don't stand for that. So I think we need to be able to work together to find a common agreement and not throw political grenades at each other. So.
Yeah. Well, to that end, I know there was a lot of discussion, and I've talked a little bit about, particularly one of the things that I noticed was this lack of decorum on the floor. There seemed to be a lot of that in the House. We saw a lot of it. We saw a lot of these points of order that didn't really seem to have a point. I mean, I assume that sort of added to the level of stress on that floor, because people may not know this, but obviously you have to keep decorum because you're all there dealing with highly emotional subjects and everybody wants to succeed, and some people are going to win and some people are going to lose. Was that sort of the feeling on the floor for you? And what is your take on this kind of overuse of points of order and lack of decorum?
Yeah, I think that when you call point of order, it really should be about whether the person who is speaking on the topic of the amendment or bill that it is addressing. And so to call a point of order because you disagree with somebody on what they're saying is not really a good point to call.
Yeah.
Point of order should only be used when, we're talking about, just trying to come up with an example. We're talking about fires and they're talking about ice.
Right.
And so that's what I think a point of order should be used for.
Right.
Not to, make these political charges at people and say, I don't like this person, or you're looking at me funny, or like whatever. I've heard that so many times this session, and it's like, we're all there to debate the subject of the bill and the merits of the policy, and that's what we should be talking about. We shouldn't be getting into the personalities. So
yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, I think that's a very good point. In a recent podcast, I kind of read through the Roberts Rules of Order for points of order, and it's only about six things, and they're very specific about violating the rules of debate, talking off of the topic of the subject, or decorum points. Obviously, if it was an actual personal attack, or if you were using inappropriate language, those are appropriate points of order. None of that happened this session.
Not that I've seen on the floor. I think, you can use emotional language on the floor to get your point across, and that is perfectly acceptable.
Yes.
When you
use foul language.
Yeah. When you use foul language or direct attacks at other legislators, that's not appropriate, and that should be called as a point of order. But we are debating emotional topics at times, and it does bring emotion out, and I think there's a fine balance there that you got to use the emotional terms as it relates to the topic you're discussing about, not other people on the floor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think that's been the sort of overriding theme. Is there's been, someone actually said it on the floor, there's been, I think, too much personality over policy. And obviously you see that in the lack of decorum and that sort of thing. So that leads me to another question. Obviously, the Wyoming House of Representatives right now, the majority is held by the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, which is this new entity, came into the state from the national group and got a few legislators to sign on. And they've been going after seats and winning seats. You aren't a member of the Freedom Caucus. Why?
Yeah, I would say, I don't like taking my marching orders from anybody other than my constituents. Those are the people I represent. And also, I think that the Freedom Caucus, while they may have some seemingly good conservative policy choices, it's about how they interact with other legislators and the things they do outside of the legislature, especially in the campaign season, that really rub people wrong. But also, actually, now that they've been in leadership, they've brought some of that nastiness into the the body. And we just kind of talked about that with the decorum piece. And so, and one thing I'd also like to say, you know, at some points it seems as if they want to create a swamp they can drain in Wyoming. And sometimes, yeah, maybe there is room for cutting some fat or something in certain areas, or we need to redirect funds to be more effective in Wyoming. But I don't see this wasteful spending here in Wyoming. I see it at the national level, and the Freedom Caucus at the national level has some good efforts to try to get the control of spending down. So, but at the state level, I think it's just more of a political move to try to get support from the voting base. And so I think that you have to work for what's good for your community. And that's why I don't support I'm not a part of the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the last question I like to end with, and I think it's a good one, is Wyoming's future bright or not?
I would say Wyoming's future is bright, and I think the Wyoming people are very smart, and they understand when people are trying to sell them a bag of goods, or if they're actually trying to benefit Wyoming. And so, and I can see that pivot even today as we sit here. And so I think we do have a bright future, and I look forward to continuing to serve Wyoming into that brighter future.
Well, the fact that you're here, GT, I think is a good example of how bright are Wyoming's futures. Because we hear, and I think it is true, that so many of our youth leave, but you haven't. You're here, you're actively involved, you've run for the legislature, you're casting votes and making decisions for the state. I think that's, you know, for your fellow members of your age group, future's bright for them as well.
Absolutely. And I would say when I take into consideration my vote, I have to take into consideration the future and how we as a state are going to move forward and provide services that my generation will also enjoy. So,
yeah.
So that was my interview with Representative J.T. Larson. He is a great example of the shining future that Wyoming has. As someone who was born and raised here, someone who has invested so much of his own personal time in his community and now in his state by serving in the Wyoming legislature. And as someone who served, I will say, we need more. You know, we need more younger folks, and doesn't just have to be in the 20s, in the 30s, in the early 40s, who want to serve and who want to give back to this great state that they live in, that we all love so dearly. And so I think JT is one of those outstanding examples. And it was really lovely to have a few minutes to sit down and to visit with him. I hope you enjoyed. I hope everyone is well. I am getting well, so we'll get there for next week, and enjoying this beautiful false spring that we've all been feeling this week. It's a trap. Don't believe it for a second. You all know it. But it's nice to see the sunshine. So have a great weekend, Wyoming, and we will see you next week.